Continuing in the second of a facetiously titled series of talks, No Gopis in ISKCON. In the first talk, I spoke about how Srila Prabhupada, following the example of the two great previous acharyas, his own Guru Maharaj and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was very cautious in discussing the topics of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Gopi Leela. Early disciples of Srila Prabhupada recount, at least some of them do, that Srila Prabhupada was more open in these matters in the very early days. And he would talk of Vrindavan, the Vrindavan Leela, and how you can easily go there. And sometimes during this period, he exhibited symptoms of Raja Bhav, feelings of devotees in Vrindavan. I remember once I was surprised by one of my godbrothers, who's now passed away, Kula Shekhar Prabhu. I remember him telling me in Bhaktivedanta Mana, this would be 1975, I suppose, that seeing Srila Prabhupada sometimes acting in the mood of a cowherd boy, and others have said similar things. This book, Mula Prakriti, Devi Dasi, a God's sister of ours, who's also passed away. Before passing away, she found out so many persons who had known or been acquaintances of Srila Prabhupada prior to his coming to the West. We think of Srila Prabhupada largely in terms of his activities after he first came to the West. But obviously he had a long and rich life prior to that, and he knew so many people. So she interviewed them, and several of them mention how Srila Prabhupada, they witnessed him experiencing ecstatic symptoms. Acharya Prabhaka, Srila Prabhupada's first disciple in Jhansi, now in Uttar Pradesh, North India, he said that he had a memory of Srila Prabhupada ecstatically performing kirtan, playing mridanga and just chanting Hare Krishna, going on all night, and Acharya Prabhaka entered the room, just Prabhupada on his own chanting Hare Krishna, and the whole room was filled with a divine fragrance from a beautiful garland that Srila Prabhupada was wearing. And Acharya Prabhupada, where did this garland come from? And just, it wasn't there before. And he said, well, Krishna came and gave it to me. So he may think, well, it's easier to make up stories after the event, but Hari Shauri Prabhu, who is a very sober biographer of Srila Prabhupada, committed to present Srila Prabhupada as he saw him without adding any treacle. There's enough treacle or nectar. There's enough nectar automatically in Srila Prabhupada's divine personality and pastimes. But Hari Shauri Prabhu also recalls in his Transcendental Diary, among much, much more what you might call down-to-earth, although Srila Prabhupada's teachings always take us up, up, up beyond the earth, but they're targeted at us who are down here on the earth. And Srila Prabhupada, he was not otherworldly in the sense of having his head in the clouds. These are all terms that persons who are not quite familiar with English, they may not understand them so much. But Srila Prabhupada is very down to earth and practical and pragmatic and as needed for starting a worldwide movement. And not just starting it, but establishing it. There's a difference. So, Harishari Prabhu noted that one time Srila Prabhupada had mentioned to him that Rupa Goswami personally, when Srila Prabhupada was living at Radha Damodar temple, daily while taking prasadam, Srila Prabhupada would look out of his lattice window and have darshan while he was taking prasadam of the samadhi and bhajan kuti of Rupa Goswami. And Srila Prabhupada told Rupa Goswami that Rupa Goswami would come to me and talk to me, and he ordered me to go to the West. Srila Prabhupada didn't make a big thing of it, as if it was just like the most normal thing in the world. He said, yeah, everyone knows that, he said. There are many such incidents. Srila Prabhupada, once this is recorded in a Back to Godhead magazine, in an article, I believe it's called Travels with the Pure Devotee by Satsarup Goswami, a diary of Srila Prabhupada, his travels with Srila Prabhupada. So one time they were flying over the Swiss Alps, and Srila Prabhupada said, these mountains go up to the next Varsha. Not everyone can see, Srila Prabhupada saw. So Srila Prabhupada was definitely a completely transcendental personality. He had vision of the spiritual world going on and its manifestations, or even extrasensory manifestations of this world that his senses were able to see. So he saw so many things. There are so many that Srila Prabhupada ordered in London that mini vyasasans be made on the side of the altar of Radha Landanishwara, the deities. One for Brahma and one for Narad. He said they come every evening for the arati. And we have in the Gaur Arati Kirtan we sing, Brahma Adi Deva Gone. It's just time for that right now. And Shiva Shuka Narada Preme Goda Goda. So Srila Prabhupada said they come every evening. They have vyasasans for them, which are there up to the present time. Not exactly the same ones. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada downplayed the mystical and the particular I'm talking about, intimate visions of Vrindavan pastimes. Others have mentioned this, and it seems to be a valid understanding that Srila Prabhupada, he spoke freely about such things, more freely about such things in the earlier days, but later he became more cautious on seeing so many of his disciples plummet back into the depths whence they had come. He had great hope. He arranged marriages on the spot in the first marriages in ISKCON in Boston in 1968, I believe it was. He just told, he asked the girls, who do you want to marry? And then he said to the boys, there was Sharadiya and Vaikunthanath, and then Rukmini and Bharadvaj, who had to come from Canada, and another couple. So he just called him, he just arranged the marriages on the spot. No astrological checking. Srila Prabhupada thought, they're in Krishna consciousness, so naturally they'll live up to their responsibility. That seems, as Satsarup Maharaj, who was present as the temple president in Boston, not a sannyasi at that time, noted, it seemed that Srila Prabhupada just thought they would stay together on the basis of Krishna consciousness, which unfortunately they didn't. But Srila Prabhupada did become more cautious in many ways, although he went on taking many risks also for spreading Krishna consciousness. But talk of the spiritual world, particularly the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, again, he never emphasized as if we're already there and we're already eligible, but it did seem in the earlier days that Srila Prabhupada was more open about discussing such things, although mostly his lectures were, as always, very philosophical and down-to-earth in the sense that they deal with our position and how to rise to the transcendental position of Krishna consciousness. I mentioned in the last talk, Srila Prabhupada had said in the matter of contemplating Gopi Leela, first deserve, then desire. He was always pointing to the spiritual world, to prem, to Vraja prem. But as does Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll find in the Adi Leela, in the fourth chapter, I believe, he takes great pains to distinguish mundane lust from divine love. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti icha dhare prema nam. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that the desire to satisfy one's own senses is called kama, mundane lust, whereas the desire to satisfy Krishna's senses is called prema. And elaborating on that theme, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes how the love of the gopis for Krishna is kama gandhahin. It's devoid of any trace of mundane lust. He goes on to describe that. Srila Prabhupada's preaching can be compared to that of Nityananda Prabhu, inasmuch as Nityananda Prabhu is described again in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as prema pracharan or Pashanda Dalan, Dui Karje Abadhut Karena Brahman. The transcendentally situated Nityananda Prabhu traveled here and there for two purposes, to preach prem and to subdue the atheists, the demons, the rascals, and so on. So both things are going on. As Srila Prabhupada rather jocularly stated, and I quoted that last time, it's not that we're going to boycott the gopis. In Krishna book, I mentioned last time how Srila Prabhupada translated Upadeshamrita and so many other, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada inserts the comment that devotees who are on that level, they can take solace, devotees who are feeling separation from Krishna, can take solace in books like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Krishna Bhavanamrita. So that's what Srila Prabhupada was pointing at. But he did so cautiously. And in this regard, I'm going to read the system that he gave us. How to approach Radha and Krishna. This is the system that Srila Prabhupada gave us. based, this is from one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, based on the teachings of Narottam Das Thakur. So I'm reading from Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, text 31. One should first take shelter of Gaura Nityananda in order to reach, ultimately, Radha Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings in this connection, Gauranga bolite hobe pulaka sharir, Hari Hari bolite nayane babene, Ar kobe nitai chande karuna hoibe, Shongshara basha namar, kabe tucha habe, beshaya charya kabe, shudha habe man, kabe hamaherabo, Sri Vrindavan. Oh, that reminds me, for those who are listening and who'd like to understand this more, quite a few years ago in Surat, I gave a talk on this song in Hindi, about how we have to gradually approach Radha and Krishna. So that should be there, those of you who have the app. One devotee told me that it was not my disciple, someone else's disciple who was present told me told me listening to that talk had really, what was the words he used? It had really given him a new perspective on Krishna consciousness that he was not aware of. Anyway, continuing with Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the beginning, one should very regularly chant Lord Sri Gaurasunda's holy name and then chant the holy name of Lord Nityananda. Then one's heart will be cleansed of impure desires for material enjoyment. Then one can approach Vrindavan Dham to worship Lord Krishna. So that's Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Man. I'll just give a quick translation of these three verses. The first three verses of this song. When, Narottam Das says, chanting the names of Gauranga, the hairs of my body will stand on end, and chanting the names Hari Hari, my eyes will flow with tears. And when will Lord Nityananda be merciful to me so that my material desires, deep-rooted material desires, the word you use here is basana, deep-rooted material desires, when will they become as if insignificant? When, giving up sense gratification, the mind will be pure, then I can see Sri Vrindavan. So, continuing, reading from Srila Prabhupada's purport, unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, there is no need to go to Vrindavan. For unless one's mind is purified, he cannot see Vrindavan even if he goes there. So many people go to Vrindavan and they see pigs in the street and they see dirt. Well, everyone sees that. But some people see Radha and Krishna, or at least they don't become distracted by the dirt and the heat and the dust, and nowadays the crowds pushing and shoving. They don't become distracted because they see this is Vrindavan. This is not an ordinary town. This is the land of Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada says, actually going to Vrindavan involves taking shelter of the six Goswamis. How do you do that? Srila Prabhupada continues, by reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and the other books that they have given. Now, Srila Prabhupada was cautious about he cautioned his disciples. First deserve, then desire. He didn't approve of disciples in 1970. What year was that? I can't remember. The Gopi Bhava Club year, whenever that was. Maybe 74? No, it must have been 75 or 76. He didn't approve of that, but here he's saying you can go to Vrindavan, take shelter of the six horses, Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava and other books, and the second half of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These are all books by Rupa Goswami, and they take us right into the Vraja Leela with gopis and gopas and everything. And there are other books also, Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani, Raghunath Das's whole, Stavavali is all included, in which is his Vilap Kusumanjali. These are all books which, for very high-level devotees, but Srila Prabhupada first says, if one's mind is purified, he cannot see. So these are for devotees whose minds are purified, and they can. He's recommending these books should be read. He's not saying they shouldn't be read, but there's some eligibility. Continuing the reading. In this way, one can understand the transcendental loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. And that comes later in the song. Bishoy Acharya Kabi Shudhavimam Kabi Hameharabo Sri Vrindavan. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Tabe Hamabujbo She Jugala Piriti. Yes. So, when I'm anxious to follow Rupa and Raghunath, then I can understand Vrindavan, the loving affairs of Vrindavan. So the Srila Prabhupada's going on translating this. Kabe Hama Bujbo She Jugal Piriti. The conjugal love between Radha and Krishna is not an ordinary human affair. It is fully transcendental. In order to understand Radha and Krishna, worship them and engage in their loving service, one must be guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya's direct disciples. And Srila Prabhupada continues on that theme in this very significant purport, especially when we are discussing the matter of entrance into Gopi Leela, which, as I described in the previous talk, that's what Srila Prabhupada came to give. Now, this purport, as many in Srila Prabhupada's purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, follows the Anubhasha of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita called Amrita Pravaha Bhasha, which means a commentary which is a flow of nectar. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote his Anubhasha, and which means a sub-commentary, literally means a sub-commentary. So the Gaudiya Math published and still published the Chaitanya Charitamrita with these two commentaries, and Srila Prabhupada largely drew on these commentaries in preparing his commentaries on Chaitanya Charitamrita, although some of a lot of what he wrote was also unique and original, and some things Srila Prabhupada left out. For instance, there is a verse describing Nityananda Prabhu seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, in which it describes that Radha Bhava Bhishta Prabhu Hoilo Shemurti Dure Nityananda Dekhi Karilen Stuti, said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becoming immersed in feelings of Radha, actually took the form of Radha, and Nityananda Prabhu, at a distance, seeing this, offered prayers. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary, gives a short one-line commentary saying that Nityananda remained at a distance, being unqualified to go close. Srila Prabhupada didn't translate that. Unqualified in this. Then you have to look, see, Nityananda is Balaram, and Balaram doesn't interfere with Radha Leela. We don't find Radha Leela and Balaram together. So Srila Prabhupada's mood followed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who followed Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But it seems that increasingly they were one more cautious than the other. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to us, followers of Srila Prabhupada, when we read his writings, it seems he's, if he came to ISKCON today, would probably be called a Sahajiya, because he does write a lot about Gopi Leelas and attaining Gopi Leelas, quite a lot. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was from the perspective of contemporary Vaishnavas, of Bhaktivinoda, he was actually very cautious in the matter of ascending to this topmost standard. And I quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur, some quotes in this regard. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very cautious, and often, using that word again, facetious in describing the supposed ecstasies of the Vaishnavas, who were, it was just all around them, all this, just like we have postmodernism all around us. Postmodernism, postmodernism, we have it all around us, and it's just there, it's just part of the atmosphere. In modern life all around us, in a village in Tamil Nadu, the young girls, maybe 12 years old, are wearing jeans. The hair is still, not all of them, those who can whose parents can afford such stupid wear, they're stupid in so many ways. So in Bengal and Orissa at that time, this Sahajirism, Prakriti Sahajirism, was just as if all pervading. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was strongly against this. So I'll discuss a little bit about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his attitude in this regard. Just a little bit, it could be days and days of discussion. I have discussed to some extent in that book I made, the Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. But that, again, is a sampling. How much can you put and say? It's a sampling. It may seem like a huge book, but it's just a sampling of the activities and the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that was a distinction between the Gauriya Math. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur set up the Gauriya Math. There was no Math in Bengal at the time, apart from the Ramakrishna Math, but no Vaishnava Math. It was something new in it was new in so many ways. But there was a distinct distinction between the Gauriya Math and everything else that went on in the name of Vaishnavism all around them. One of the obvious, he made the Gauriya Math quite distinct. The way the devotees dressed, the fact that they had brahmacharis and sannyasis instead of babajis and householders. They had householders also. They didn't sing the songs of Chandidas and Vidyapati, but rather they sang the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and some selected songs of Vishwanath Chakravarti, that Gurvashtaka. They had a different song sheet, a different liturgy. They were different in so many ways, but one clear distinction is that the Gaudiya Math did not enter into publicly and hardly even privately discussion of the intimate topics of Gopi Leela. The Gaudiya Math took that discussion of and dramas about and kirtan about the intimate Gopi Leelas, which were just, that was it. That was Bengal Vaishnavism. That's what it was all about. They took that as sahajya, meaning it's just imitation. It's not the real thing. They're talking about it, singing about it, but they're not really there. I've seen in the years I spent in Bengal, people crying, rolling on the ground, and as if in ecstasy. But when the show is over, they're back to their normal materialistic life. So the idea given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is that that higher level, we will come to that. That will awaken if we have faith in the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna in a realistic way, realistically understanding that we have so many contaminations in our heart, that when we go on serving Krishna in a mood of surrender, then, and hearing and chanting about Krishna, then automatically grace will descend. The grace will descend and pick us up and pull us up. It is not that we can forcibly enter. He used to say, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, well, he composed one song in which he stated it's practically a motto for the Gaudiya Math in their approach to the higher topics. Pujala raga pat gaurava bhange. The worshipping from a lower platform, worshipping those who are on the ragatmika platform, with great reverence approaching those on the ragatmika platform. But this reverence is not the reverence of Vaikuntha. Matala harijan kirtanaronge. The devotees are as if mad in kirtan, so they're not in the Vaikuntha mood. But they've gone beyond the formality of this world, but they have great respect for the higher level topics. The idea is that we are here. This Radha Krishna Leela is very high. We shall worship that. We shall serve that as and when and to what extent we are able to do so. It's not such an easy thing. It's not just that you're saying Radhe, Radhe, that automatically we shall rise to that platform. It's the idea, by this humility, I am unqualified, but deep in my heart there is a desire, and I know my Guru Maharaj has that desire to uplift me. So let us keep that hope alive, and in the meantime serve the mission of the Lord within this world. Radha and Krishna have come, as Lord Chaitanya and told us, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. So it is very high. It's very attractive. It appeals to our heart. It is very sweet. But we are servants of that very high level. We shall go on with our regulated devotion as taught by Rupa Goswami. We shall go on with that and honor that very high level devotion. And by teaching Krishna Upadesh, we shall teach in the world, we shall imbibe it ourselves, and we shall teach to the world, first you understand how great is Krishna. Don't think that we can just jump up, just like you can jump up with some ordinary woman. We can jump up into gopi bhav. We have to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are beyond anything imaginable in this world. It's a level of purity which is simply unimaginable for us who are bound up by the chains of material desire. So we have to start at the beginning. First of all, understand, we are eternal. We are eternal parts of the Supreme Eternal, who is Krishna, who is the Supreme Enjoyer. We have to serve his transcendental senses with purified senses. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sivon Mukhi Hijivada Swayameva Spuratya Daha. This is our motto, that Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, they're beyond our ability to understand with our mundane consciousness, beyond the scope of our mundane senses to grasp. But when we become inclined to serve him by the grace of the Vaishnava gurus who teach this, then by serving him, beginning with the tongue, then gradually he becomes so pleased that he reveals himself to us. So we should teach this and teach it also. Krishna is very sweet. Krishna is very loving. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. One of the first booklets that was published and is still widely, hopefully, distributed. Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure. Everyone is looking for love. All you need is love. George Harrison wrote at the beginning of his Krishna book, The Nectar of Devotion, the introduction, begins by establishing this premise. Everyone is looking for love, but they don't know where to find it. So yes, Krishna is very sweet. Krishna is very merciful. Krishna is very kind. Krishna is very loving. But take it step by step. These topics of the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, the Gopi Leela, we don't boycott it, but we are to approach cautiously. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur decamped in Vrindavan for a whole month, 1 year, during Kartik. This is the Urja Vrata, during the period where people perform vows to please Radharani. But for public lectures, he had one of his most impressive preachers, really impressive, Bharati Maharaj. He had Bharati Maharaj lecture on the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, the story of Prahlad in Vrindavan, the land of Radha. Radha Padankita Dham Jaranam Vrindavan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. Vrindavan is the place which is marked with the lotus footprints of Krishna, Radha. Not only that, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sitting on that, you've seen that maybe, that embankment between Radha Kund and Shama Kund. He was speaking on the Upanishads, and the Babaji's there. They thought, this is crazy. You come to Radha Kund and speak on the Upanishads, that's all about... not the Upanishads, the Upadesha Amrita of Rupa Goswami, which talks about Radha Kund, but begins with the... What was it? Upanishads, Upadesha Amrita. The Upadesha Amrita begins with the control the senses, control the mind, all these things. He didn't speak on intimate gopi leelas. One time in Vrindavan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had some friend, because he had so many friends before his Gauriya Math flourished. He knew so many people, so many devotees from Navadvip, and even before that, as the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he knew so many people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a socialite in the sense, not in the mundane sense, but he was well known in respectable society, Bhadralok society, in Calcutta and beyond. So there was a friend of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur who was residing in Vrindavan. So on one visit to Vrindavan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur went to visit that gentleman. And when he arrived, he entered and he saw that a reading of Bhagavatam is going on from the Rasa Panchadhaya, from the five chapters of Bhagavatam that deal with Rasa Leela. So he came in, he heard what was going on, and he left without saying anything to anyone. His friend saw, and he came, said, "Oh, why are you leaving? There's a reading of Rasa Leela going on." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wouldn't stay. He thought, he thought that I'm not allowed. This is not allowed. It's not allowed for me to hear this. And who could be more qualified than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to hear this? But he wanted to set the example that this is not just. Even it was a childhood friend of his who had gone to live in Vrindavan for the purpose of Krishna, and he was doing what was expected of people who retire and go to Vrindavan. He'd organized a reading of Bhagavatam, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He wasn't so social that he stayed. He could have stayed for the sake of his old friend. But he didn't chastise anyone, but he said, "No, I can't stay. I'm not allowed. My gurus have forbidden that I should listen to this." Gurus have forbidden. It seems like a very strange thing. But there was a reasoning behind that. Once a... Once one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is someone who'd been connected with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and done a lot of service to all these things, but he left Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he wanted to identify himself as a gopi. He thought, why should I bother with all this? all these rules and regulations. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he dryly commented, "Oh, now he's become a woman. Maybe he'll meet Krishna, and then what will happen? Then he'll have a baby." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur constructed at Radhakund little temple, it's still there under Gauriamat auspices, the Vraja Swananda Sukhata Kunja. Swananda Sukhata Kunja is the name of the house that Bhaktivinoda Thakur built at Godroom for his bhajan. Swananda Sukhata Kunja. There's Kamala Manjari's Kunja, Swananda Sukhata Kunja. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made that a Radha Kund. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "I won't stay at Radha Kund. I will stay at Govardhan." Upadeshamrita of Rupa Goswami describes that Govardhan, even higher than Govardhan, is Radha Kund. So I will stay at Govardhan, a little distance, not very far, a little distance, and I will come to Radha Kund to serve my gurus. But I'm not eligible to stay at Radha Kund. I should stay a little lower. This is the whole mood. This is the whole mood. And this is actually the mood that it's not something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made up. It's the mood of the whole sampradaya. Gopi Bharata Padakamalaya Dasa Dasanu Dasa. One should become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who's the lover of the gopis. We may call out Radhe, 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 but we should not. We're not impersonalists. We're not going to become Radha. We're not going to become Lalita or Vishakha or Chitra or Champakalata or any of the Ashtasakhi gopis. They're already there. We can aspire to become their servant. Well, who are their servants? Well, then we come to the Manjaris, such as Kasturika Manjari, Ananga Manjari, Rupa Manjari, Lavanga Manjari, Guna Manjari. There are so many. But we're not going to become them either, because they're already there. So we can aspire to become a servant of the servant of the servant of Radha Krishna, and go back a few places still. That is our aspiration. That is realistic. So in this way, we have to establish our connection with Radha and Krishna. But still, there's a direct relationship, yes, but that is also through the devotees, and it's not any less for that. It's just like I am a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Does that mean I'm going to jump up ahead of Prabhupada and go to Krishna? The idea is not just offensive, it's ludicrous. Chokudana Diloje Janme Janme Prabhu Se. He's my Lord birth after birth. He may say, well, when I get free from birth and death, then I'll jump ahead of him and go straight into Gopi Leela and leave him behind. And no question. No question whatsoever. Understanding our position as servant, we can begin to understand and appreciate these very high points. So Srila Prabhupada followed this mood. He didn't discuss the intimate topics of Radha and Krishna. He did say that when you're qualified, you can go to Vrindavan and study those books. Of course, one can go to Vrindavan by one's intense service mood also. So he didn't ban it, but he was just very cautious that we don't make it very public. It will be misunderstood. We should aspire to that level. We should come to that level. But the tendency to do so artificially is so strong that should not be encouraged. There's much more to be said about this. But basically the point is, it's not that any Tom, Dick and Harry, anyone, anywhere, we discuss Gopi Leela with them. Of course, it's in the books, and nowadays the talks like this, they don't go just among a small group of hearers, but they go throughout the world. That's also there. So care has to be taken. Aim for the highest, yes, but go carefully, cautiously, realistically. I plan to speak more on this in another session, and probably it'll take another two or maybe three sessions to go through the notes that I've made on this. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nidhaya charnakam padayo nipatya kritva chaka kushatameta daham bravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat goranga chandra charne kurutanuragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vichara yamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvasha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.